At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta. Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of your Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you today. It is, sadly, a silver linings edition of the HHC. The Charlotte falls in Detroit last night, 114-97, now swept by the Pistons in the season series, 3-0. Hornets now 16-49 on a season. First time the Hornets have been swept by the Pistons since the 2011-2012 season. We'll dive into this one, take a look at our silver lining performances. We're also going to talk about how the trade deadline acquisitions have held up here through the first about month or so post-trade deadline. And helping me out with all of these topics on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley. Sam, thank you for joining me on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Unfortunately, just kind of a little bit of a bad matchup and too many mistakes for the Hornets last night. But regardless, thank you for joining me on this edition of the HHC as we dive into this one.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, as always.
So let's go ahead and take a look at this one. Hornets continued to be hampered by injuries. No LaMelo Ball, no Mark Williams, no Cody Martin, no Trey Mann, no Seth Curry, no Bryce McGowan's. For that game last night, Ausar Thompson was out with an illness for the Pistons, but in that first half, it really didn't matter a whole lot for Detroit as they got out to a 34-23 lead through the first quarter of play. Pistons closed the final 7 minutes or so of the first quarter on a 21-9 run. Cade Cunningham had 12 points in the first frame. Brandon Miller had 8 on the other side for the Hornets as the Pistons shot 57% from the field there in the first quarter, also 7-for-7 at the free throw line. Hornets had just one free throw attempt on an and one opportunity there in that first frame and were not able to convert into it. And then we go to the second quarter as the Hornets were down by as many as 17 early on in the second quarter thanks to an 11-2 Pistons run over about a 3 minute span, but Charlotte able to return a favor with about a 13-0 run. Get back into this one a little bit, but still trailed up by 7 going into the locker room, 53-46. Brandon Miller had 13 points in the first half off of 5-10 shooting. Nick Richards was working on a double-double with 8 points and 7 rebounds. And Cade Cunningham was stuck on his 12 points and 5 assists. But the big thing in that first half, or at least the reason why Charlotte was down and trailing, was because of the fast break points. The Pistons had 19 fast break points compared to just 2 for Charlotte. As the Hornets turned the ball over 8 times, it resulted in 18 Pistons points. The problem was Detroit turned the ball over 7 times as well, but the Hornets weren't able to capitalize, just 7 points off of those turnovers. So Hornets had some work to do there in that third quarter. Unfortunately, Pistons came out and shot about 55% from the field in the third frame, outscored the Hornets 33-21 in that quarter, as the Hornets only made about a third of their shots and were 2-for-8 from beyond the arc in the third frame alone. Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges were trying to keep the team into it, but we go to the fourth quarter, and the Hornets, in fact, end up winning the final frame 30-28, but just too much to overcome in a 114-97 loss. Some bright spots in this one, Sam. We'll get into those here in a little bit with our silver linings, but all in all, I'll go ahead and touch on what I thought the difference was, and I mentioned it earlier, the fast break points and the turnovers, and just not able to capitalize there in terms of Charlotte when it comes to the turnovers, but the live ball turnovers resulted in those fast break points. Now, Charlotte did a good job cleaning that up there in the second half, as for the totality of the game, it was a 25-4 advantage in favor of the Pistons, so they were only able to allow about 6 fast break points in that second half, so they did a better job in that sense, but still just too much firepower to overcome. Cade Cunningham had a 22-point performance, Jalen Duren had 20 points and 10 rebounds. All of the mainstays showed up for this Pistons team. All 5 starters were in double figures through 3 quarters of play, and that's what really propelled them across the finish line, it felt like.
Yeah, I think it kind of all falls under the just overarching possession game. And I think that's something that right now the Hornets just can't afford to be losing on a nightly basis, given sort of the limitations they have offensively and from which is kind of a bigger picture of the depth problems they have right now with so many injuries. And it was definitely the fast break points. In my head, as I was watching the first quarter, I was like, it feels like the fast break points are pretty high right now. And I was thinking like maybe 8 or 10. And then when the box score came in for the first quarter, it was like, oh, it's 15. Okay, that's not going to be good. And then I went and looked it up, and Detroit only averages 14.5 fast break points per game. So right away, it was kind of an ominous sign that it doesn't feel like this is going to be the night for the Hornets. So yeah, fast break points, it kind of got corralled a little bit as the game went on, and then it's just the rebounding. It's, like you said, not even the turnover count, but it's every turnover led to scoring. I mean, only having 13 turnovers, that's workable. Giving up 25 points off those turnovers, I mean, they're basically scoring on every single one of them, which popped up into the fast break scoring part. So that's where the turnovers become more problematic than just the number of them itself. It's the impact they had, and then not being able to return the favor with the 12 and only 9 on the other side is a problem. And then it's the rebounding game, you know, giving up 9 offensive boards for 17 second chance points. Again, not overwhelming, but when it comes into the possession game, it's just they just don't have a lot of margin to be giving possessions, you know, more possessions to the other side than what they've been taking. And didn't shoot a whole lot of free throws in the first half either. I thought that was a little bit of a problem as well. I think they had 0-for-1 at halftime, or 0-of-1 after the first quarter, maybe. I think they had maybe had 1 made free throw at halftime. So just a tough one. This is a tough matchup, especially with all the injuries. I know the Pistons record is what it is. This is a very tough matchup for the Hornets, just given the size limitations they have right now, with only Nick Richards there at center. And it shows up, and it showed up the last couple times they played Detroit. So that's just kind of, you know, it's not the fun answer. It sounds like an excuse, but that's a lot of what this is. It's a size issue, and it's a physicality issue, and a lot of those size and physicality issues manifested into empty possessions that went the other way for fast break points.
I'll be honest with you, that's where I was going to turn to this, is it's just a bad matchup, in all honesty, for the Hornets team. They're physical. Detroit is. Detroit's a very physical team. They're big, they're burly, and they can get under your skin a little bit. I mean, Isaiah Stewart's a guy that can hurt you. I know he only had 12 points in the game last night. He was 2-of-7 from beyond the arc, but he's a guy that can get you rebounds. He ended up only getting 6, but Jalen Duren's another guy too. 20 points, 10 boards for him at the center position. They have a lot of size and a lot of physicality. And right now, like you said, it's just a bad matchup here for the Hornets, who don't have that, because the only 7-footer on the roster right now is Nick Richards. So I totally agree with that point. I was about to go there myself, and you touched on the free throw shooting as well. Hornets were 1-for-2 at the free throw line through the first half, but they did make up for it a little bit in the fourth quarter. They got in a bonus early and they ended up going to the free throw line, but didn't capitalize a ton. They were just 10-of-15 from the stripe in the fourth quarter alone, 16-of-23 on the evening. I mean, Davis Bertans missed a couple free throws. Miles Bridges missed a couple ones as well. Just guys you wouldn't really expect to miss freebies at the line, and it's just that kind of night. The Hornets didn't shoot the ball well in general either. 13-of-40 from beyond the arc. That's about 32-33%. On the other side, the Pistons didn't shoot the ball well either, but they were able to outlast, especially in the paint, 56-of-40 in favor of those paint points, as Detroit was 10-of-42 from three-point land. That's 24% if you're into percentages. But after the game, Steve Clifford was asked about this matchup and why it's so difficult. This is what he had to say.
Tonight, I would say the rebounding game, you know, we're minus 11. But also, you know, we haven't been able to score on them. And this game was much, you know, the last game here, watching it, I mean, you know, we're plus six with under four to play. And then Bogdanovich made a bunch of big plays, you know, in that game. And tonight was more similar to the first game in Charlotte. They got up double digits early, and we were playing from behind the whole game, which, you know, it's obviously a tough way to go.
Unfortunate way for Charlotte to go out on this season series against the Pistons. Again, lost all three games against Detroit this year. Pistons are now 11-53 on a season, and three of those wins have come against the Hornets, who are now 16-49. Some top performers, though, some silver lining performances in this one. Miles Bridges, a team high and a game high 24 points. Grant Williams had 22 points. Brandon Miller had 19 points. Nick Richards with a double-double. Vasilije Micic also had 11. Everybody in double figures for the Hornets was in the starting lineup. You can't say the same, though, for the bench points, as the Pistons outscored Charlotte in that category 31-11, and that was a little bit of the ball game there as well, where the bench didn't show up, especially from a shooting standpoint as well. But those are certainly games that are going to happen here for the Hornets, unfortunately, this season. We've seen that time and time again. But Charlotte falls last night 114-97. We'll pick our silver lining performances right after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's a Silver Linings edition of the HHC. Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, with you on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, as always, presented by Senta. Sam, you know how this works. We always have to pick a silver lining performance. Even though it is a loss, there are some silver linings to take a look at. We have two players north of 20 in this one. We also have Nick Richards with another double-double. I kind of gave you the rundown there right before the break, but I will defer to you as the guest. Who is your silver lining performance from last night's game?
Yes, my silver lining is going to be Grant Williams. Finished with 22 points, 6 of 13 shooting, had a couple of threes. He was 8 of 9 from the line, which I want to say is a pretty high for the season for him. Yes, it's actually a season high. It might be a career high in attempts, but also had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Turnovers, a little bit of an issue early. I want to say he had 4 maybe a few minutes into the second quarter, but after that only had 1 the rest of the game. I thought he provided the necessary level of physicality that the Hornets needed from him. Unfortunately, there's just not enough to go around in terms of, you know, the size mismatch and what we were talking about earlier. But I thought it was a really good, solid game for Grant Williams. It's kind of production you've gotten used to a little bit, and then the scoring has died down just a little bit. But that snaps a 3-game streak of scoring in single digits, and that's his first 20-point game since the win in Utah back on February 22nd. So his third with the Hornets, good to see him kind of stuff the stat sheet and played his role the best he could. I think he's still getting used to starting a little bit more at that power forward spot. I think he had settled in nicely to that reserve role, but unfortunately with the injuries right now, everybody's kind of playing a little bit more, playing out of position right now. Just there's not a whole lot of options with the, you know, who's available. But overall, really nice performance from Grant Williams last night, and hopefully it's kind of the start of getting the, you know, efficiency and the scoring back going again.
Micić gives to Grant Williams. Williams ducks inside against Cade Cunningham. Spilled to the floor, no foul called. Gets it out somehow from his backside to Micić. Over the head pass, it's Williams. Corner three, it's good. Grant Williams and the Hornets find their way to a quality shot after a mucked-up possession that included a player hitting the deck. And now the Hornets have their first lead.
Unfortunately, that lead did not last long for Charlotte, but I thought Grant was great in the game last night, and you are correct. That is a career high for free throws made and free throws attempt for Grant Williams, 8-for-9 at the stripe last night. I thought he's been playing better as of late. I know he was in a little bit of that scoring slump, like you mentioned, with the single-digit scoring, but I thought a lot of that had to do because of the first part of him going back into a little bit of a starting role, playing a lot of that four where he was coming off the bench and playing with the second unit a lot more. So there's a little bit of a chemistry thing involved there as well. And just the fact that, you know, he's getting a lot more difficult defensive assignments, I feel like, over the last couple of games. So Grant Williams, definitely a good pick. I thought that he's been solid. It's his third 20-point game here in Charlotte. That is in only 14 games as well. He had two in his entirety at Dallas, and that was over the span of 47 games. So Grant Williams starting to pick up the scoring a little bit here in Charlotte. For me, my silver lining performance, I didn't even cut a highlight for him because it's just been so consistent and so expected at this point. I'm going to go with Nick Richards. Third straight double-double for him last night. 10 points, 13 rebounds, 5 of 7 from the field. I know that he had a pretty tough assignment last night as well against Jalen Duren, and I thought he handled his minutes pretty good. I mean, there were times where, unfortunately, Cade Cunningham was able to get downhill, and a couple of those guards were able to slice to the bucket, and out of position a couple times was Nick, but I feel like a lot of that was because of the attention that Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart and those kind of guys were drawing towards defensively. So I thought Nick Richards played a pretty solid game last night, just more so just because of the consistency here over the last couple of games. The third straight double-double, like I mentioned, hasn't happened a whole lot in his career, like you tweeted out after the game last night, but he's kind of rounding into form because I think a lot of people forget, unfortunately, that he came into the season, he was supposed to be the backup. He was supposed to come in and come off the bench and be able to give Mark Williams a break when he needed to come out and sub out and get those rotations. Unfortunately, Mark obviously hasn't been able to play a whole lot of games, so now Nick Richards is playing in a much larger role than he was expected to coming into this season. So I thought he's been able to make the most of his opportunity, and he's been able to fill in admirably as well, because again, without him, I'm not sure what that interior, especially on the defensive end, would look like. So Nick Richards gets the silver lining performance from my game last night. But again, a couple of other cap tips, if you will. Brandon Miller, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Vasilije Micić, also in double figures with 11 points. He also had 5 rebounds and 7 assists. Miles Bridges played 40 minutes with a game-high 24 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists for Miles, who always seems to play a little bit better when he goes home back to Detroit in his native Michigan. And again, Nick Richards with that double-double in a 114-97 loss to Detroit. And you give credit where credit's due. Pistons played pretty well, especially the starters. Duren had that 20-10 game, like I mentioned. Cade Cunningham was with 22 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Fontecchio had 17 points for them. Isaiah Stewart, like I mentioned, in double figures. Even James Wiseman was able to give them 10 points off the bench as well. So Detroit able to earn the win over the Hornets, 114-97. But we touched on Grant Williams. Want to touch on a couple of other guys as well. Had a recent article come across the wire on NBA.com as they were surveying the lay of the land post-trade deadline 1 month later. I'm going to touch on a couple of players and why they are maybe more impactful than you would think. We're going to talk about that next here on a Hornets Hivecast presented by Senta.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, putting a button on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, as always, brought to you by Senta. And Sam, as we were scouring for some topics here after the game last night, one of these articles that came across my watchful eye was on NBA.com by John Schumann, and it was talking about some of the NBA storylines and the early returns on players and teams that made trades. Now, obviously, because it's a national media outlet and it's a national writer, they were going to touch on more of the guys that went to teams that are competing for top playoff spots or competing to get into the playoffs. So they touched on some of the players on the Mavericks, the Knicks that made moves, the Pacers, the Heat, and a couple of other news and notes, some footnotes, if you will. But the very last one happened to touch on Grant Williams. And I thought it was an interesting little tidbit that among all of these numbers here, when you take a look at some of these teams that are competing and you look at guys like Patrick Beverly and Buddy Hield and some of those other smaller moves as well that are going to more competitive teams fighting for those playoff spots, Grant Williams was able to make an appearance in there. And it touched on how the defensive rating, more or less, here for the Hornets over the last couple of weeks has definitely gone in a much better route, because before the trade deadline, the Hornets were being outscored by almost 10.5 points per 100 possessions. Would have been a very, very low watermark for the first time in a long time. But ever since the trade where Grant Williams was able to come over to Charlotte, the Hornets are about a minus 0.9 points per 100 possessions in the minutes that Grant Williams is out there on the floor. So that certainly shows that the defensive makeup of this team has certainly taken a step forward, and sometimes it's maybe a little bit of a new set of scenery for some of these players that allows them to maybe swell up a little bit and perform in a better area. Because when you go back and you look at some of the numbers, and this is something that I don't want to draw attention to it just because we want to see everybody succeed, but when you go back and you look at Grant Williams's numbers, I touched on it just a moment ago in that previous segment, only two games scored 20 points or more in the 47 games in Dallas this season. Since he's come to Charlotte, in those 14 games, he's now been north of 20 in three of those. And I don't think that's something that should go unrecognized, simply for the fact that A, he could score the basketball like that. B, I just gave you the defensive numbers with him out there on the floor. And when you look at it as a whole, C, you take a look at some of the other guys that were previously on this roster for the Hornets. And again, I'm not trying to downplay anything, because a lot of these guys are going to different situations and they don't have the role that they used to have on the Hornets team. But if you look at a guy like PJ Washington, now that he's in Dallas, his two-point percentage is up. His minutes are actually up in Dallas. His points per game and his three-point percentage is down compared to where it was in Charlotte. Terry Rozier, when he was here in Charlotte, he was averaging almost 23 points a game, a little bit over that. Now that he's in Miami, a little bit under 15 points per game. And again, he's not the guy in Miami. He's got Jimmy Butler. He's got Bam Adebayo around him. The three-point percentage has taken a hit, though. The minutes have definitely gone down as well, so it's a smaller sample size for a guy like Terry Rozier. Gordon Hayward is a prime example of that going to Oklahoma City. His minutes go from almost 32 per game in Charlotte, he's down to about 15.5 now, and his field goal attempts are way down. He was averaging almost 12 shot attempts per game in Charlotte. He's down to about 4 now in Oklahoma City, and that points per game has gone from about 14.5 down to 3.5. And again, I'm not saying that because these guys got traded away that they aren't any better now on these teams that have more pieces around him that are healthier, but it's difficult to go from one situation to a different situation and fit in. So I think that's why this is more impressive now that we've seen guys like Grant Williams, Vasilij Micic. Unfortunately, Seth Curry's been hurt a little bit now with that ankle, but Davis Bertans and all of those guys. Trey Mann's another guy, too, unfortunately, who's been hurt. But all of those guys coming into a different situation have been able to excel for the most part here in Charlotte, and that is not easy to do.
Well, I think it's, again, it speaks to the larger, fit is everything in the NBA and how you're utilized and the environment you play in, your responsibilities, what you're asked to do position-wise, minutes-wise. I mean, it's a tough thing to kind of figure out the perfect recipe. And for some of these guys, I mean, Davis Bertans, Seth Curry, Vasilij Micic, they weren't even playing in Oklahoma City and Dallas. So right away, they're getting into a better situation just to play more because they're playing. They're playing better because they're playing more, which obviously helps. And I think Grant Williams settled in very, very nicely to that small ball off the bench center role that the Hornets were using the first 7 or 8 games after he arrived. And, you know, that works. That's something that can work matchup wise for some teams. And then for some games like this Detroit game, and then besides the fact that he's got to start at power forward because, you know, they're thinner on bodies. It's, you know, not something that can do every single game, but that's certainly an element I liked about the way the Hornets were using him before Seth Curry and the Cody Martin, Trey Mann and Bryce McGowan started suffering injuries. And it had to be kind of a all hands on deck sort of approach. But yeah, the fit thing is interesting, and I like the fit that a lot of these guys have brought to the Hornets, and they all brought something at once. It's hard to get a full read and grasp of it just because they're not playing with LaMelo Ball. They're not playing with Mark Williams. They're not playing with full cast of, you know, surrounding bodies and characters to really see the best way they could fit. And that's, I think, kind of one of the downsides also about these injuries right now is not only do you not have your best talent out there on the floor and you're forced to kind of, you know, do things that are outside your comfort zone, you don't get a chance to really evaluate things the best way you could heading down the, you know, the home stretch of the season here. And it's, I think, a part of the injuries that sometimes gets overlooked is this last 15-20 games is used for evaluation. It's, you know, see to what pieces fit and this and that, but you don't have those pieces. It's hard to get the best read possible on who is out there on the court. It's not impossible, but it's just harder. You know, how does Seth Curry play with, you know, LaMelo Ball? Well, they're not playing together, so that makes it challenging to know that. So, I think they found some guys that have settled in that have fit very nicely. Again, but it's tough right now to get a proper read on everything, just given the injuries and given what some of these guys are forced to be taken on. But I'm still very high on the guys they brought over, and I think they all five of them definitely have the potential to be not only short term, but to potentially, you know, next year and beyond pieces for the Hornets.
One more question before I let you go here on this edition, Sam, and this randomly just popped in my head while you were talking there. You're talking a lot about fit. Do we sometimes, and I'm just saying as a whole, as we observe the game of basketball, because everybody has an opinion, do we sometimes mistake fit and chemistry? Do we sometimes get those mixed up a little bit? Are they intertwined, or is it something that's completely different in your mind?
I think chemistry is part of fit. I think fit, I think it's all, there's sort of interchangeable overlapping terms. You hear fit, you hear chemistry, you hear environment, you hear situation. You know, you hear about guys that, you know, they get drafted to teams and there's a pathway for them to get minutes right away, but they don't have to do a ton of stuff and they can kind of ease their way in. You've got situations where guys get drafted to teams and there's 2 or 3 veterans in front of them and, you know, they don't get to play. Mark Williams is a good example last year. He got drafted. You know, if he gets drafted to a different team, there might be a pathway for him to be playing heavy minutes right off the bat in the NBA. But he got drafted to a team that had a veteran center in Mason Plumlee ahead of him and a 3-year center who just had a very big summer in Nick Richards ahead of him. So it wasn't necessarily a bad situation, but right off the bat, there's going to be differences between where he's ending up in Charlotte versus ending up where he was. And it's up to the team and it's up to the player to kind of work together to figure out what's going to be best for the player to put him in position, in the best position to succeed and also for the team to succeed. So it's a very, very not complicated, but certainly not a definite process in the sense that, you know, everybody's different and how everybody develops is different, but chemistry is part of it. Fit is part of it. Situation is part of it. I kind of find the process fascinating and kind of seeing how all the pieces work together. But, you know, chemistry is definitely a big thing. How you play with teammates, you know, how guys like to get passes, like bounce passes, like chest passes. What are their spots on the floor? He goes over here. Do I expect this, that? So there definitely is a chemistry issue that you can only really get by playing with guys out on the floor and practice as well, too. But at this point of the season, there's not a ton of practice time available given the games and where we are on the schedule. So it's definitely something that as we get into the offseason, it will be something that I'm sure we're focusing on more and more and seeing how this roster fits together heading into the upcoming offseason and then obviously the season after that.
We only answer the deep questions here on the Hornets Hivecast. Sam Perley, the lead writer of Hornets.com. Thank you for going down this spiritual journey path with me here on EHHC today.
Of course. Yeah, I got a little deep there, but hopefully it was a little bit interesting and something to look out for as the season keeps going. Just you want to see guys play well and play with each other. And obviously it's tough right now, but we're trying to make the most of it and find as many silver linings as we can.
Hornets' next chance to pick up a W is tomorrow on the road in Memphis. Sam Farber will have your game preview podcast of that coming up tomorrow. For Sam Perley, I'm Rob Longo saying thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. We'll preview the Hornets and the Grizzlies tomorrow once again here on EHHC.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.